What's going on, Packers fans? Aaron Nagler here with Bill Schmid. Carry the G Radio rolls on into the regular season. Billy, before we get going, I guess I got to like own up right away, right off the bat. Greg Joseph was on the 53-man roster for all of 24 hours, beating out one Anders Carlson. Now, a few caveats here, which I'm sure you know. I have parsed this pretty damn clearly. The bet, such as it was earlier this offseason, was that all things being equal, that's what I said, Carlson would be the guy. Now, clearly, Carlson isn't the guy. But is Greg Joseph the guy after getting cut, not being the kicker week one?
See, now that's a fascinating question, Nags. This does feel like you and I went up to the roulette table and said, dude, there's no way Black doesn't win. Like, there's no way it doesn't hit Black. It's hit red 14 straight times.
Right.
Well, I'm going red. Right. So then we went up against each other, and then all of a sudden the lowly zero came up.
The zero.
And it's green, and both of our chips are taken away. And one random cat that was sitting at the roulette table, not talking to anybody, had a green chip on the green spaces, and he's the one scooping all the cash.
Walking away with the chips.
And that being Narv Dog, Braden Narveson. No, it's hilarious. It would be like when I started betting your soccer, right? Because fan of doing it. Betting the draw.
Oh my gosh.
There's no draw. What are we talking about here? Well, tied at 90 minutes, even though they're going to go to overtime.
Extra time, right?
Pardon me, extra time.
That's extra time.
Do you guys call it a shootout or is it penalty kicks?
Penalty kicks.
Penalty kicks. Sorry. You already won if you were on the draw. Well, I caught a fat L on that a couple of times because I'm like, sweet.
Amazing.
My Wolverhampton Wolves won. Now that was the situation. So we did get, I think we both caught an L, even though it wouldn't be a no bet with the casino.
I was just going to say in the parlance of the times, I would say you got the W just because Joseph lasted one more day.
Let's go.
More day, even though he's not going to be making that trip to Sao Paulo, which yours truly is indeed. And Billy, can I tell you, so earlier this week, I was on a Zoom call with the NFL, with attendant Packers and Eagles media members. No, Roger was not available for this one, but they were like, you know, the folks from the NFL are talking about how there's going to be a practice that you can go to, and here's the plan to get you guys to the event, the venue, as it were, either where the Packers are practicing or the game itself, which is 9:15, I believe, local time, kicking off. So it's going to go late into the evening. So your boy, being the nervous Nelly that he is, booked his stuff way, way, way back in June, right? Thinking, I got to make sure I get a hotel. I got to get my flight sorted out. I got to be ready, right? So I'm ready. Unfortunately, everything the NFL has concocted and put together all centers around the media hotel that I didn't book. It's like an hour away from where I'm staying.
No.
Although I will say where I'm staying is closer to the stadium and is is on a subway line that I can get there really easily. Although getting back at like probably 2-3 in the morning on the subway, not so sure. That's
a little sketchy. Like, might be
kind of where I want to head. Maybe I'll get an Uber. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm excited for this matchup. I'm excited to go down to Brazil and watch the Green Bay Packers take on the Philadelphia Eagles. That's where I'm living right now.
I'm so jealous. And I do think I did not expect, now I should have, this was naivete on my part, that this was going to be the spectacle of the international series like it was for the Giants and to a grander stage, right? Like, and maybe the Packers didn't caught them off guard as well. Like, you're going to have a full media day on Thursday, I would assume.
It's crazy. Well, they have an appearance by, you know, Matt and Jordan and then a couple other quote prominent players, which they clearly haven't picked yet, but they
That's to the American media. But I do assume that they're going to speak to Brazilian media.
Oh,
right?
We are the minority here as far as who's covering this game.
Yep.
They talked about how there is a full onslaught of Brazilian and international media that's going to be in attendance that is going to far outweigh our presence,
which is going to be really, really cool to see how
it's amazing, dude,
how you handle the situation. And for that to be the start and the kickoff of the season, would it be cool to be playing in Thursday night's game? Yeah, this is 1A, 1B.
That's next year's goal. Next year's goal is to be playing one day earlier at Lambeau Field.
Yes, at Lambeau Field.
So Matt LaFleur can finally get a home opener on week one. Can you believe that?
That is a wild,
never once.
Wild stat.
Never. He's been with the team 6 years. Never once.
Do you think he kind of likes it, though? Do you think then you can just, like, buy in, manufacture it, kind of Harbaugh style, where, like, they still don't like us, right?
Yeah, now, we're still the butt of their jokes. We've got to show them all kind of thing.
Harbaugh is going to be the butt of my jokes when you're talking about missing an elevator, getting stuck, and being, like, disappointed that you weren't on it yet. You're going to still be the butt of those jokes.
That whole diatribe was hilarious. Come on, you got to admit. Amazing. He's like a walking comedy machine. Like, I love listening to him talk.
And if anybody would have concocted that and set it up, it would be Jim Harbaugh.
To test his players and see how they respond. Yeah.
You see how great of a leader Justin Herbert is? Guy wasn't even sweating.
Wasn't even sweating. Not a bead of sweat.
Hair a little wet. Shirt, dry. Dan Fouts' wife thought the guy was going to be a president. I mean, it's amazing. You manufacture some of that stuff. But so you start with adversity, right? Into a different situation. We talked about it as to prepping your travel party. Right now, they're not doing it that way like the Dolphins talked about doing when they went overseas a year ago and took on the Chiefs. Like, we're going to treat this as a quasi Super Bowl week where you're prepping your whole operation to be on the road.
Yep.
It is still the longest road trip you're going to have in the NFL season by far.
Easily. I will say I've been thinking about this quite a bit throughout this week. You know, we've seen Matt at availabilities here. You know, obviously the end of training camp, the cut down to the 53, et cetera. But we're about to see the turn, right? Like, now they've had these couple days off. I know they're practicing tonight at Lambeau underneath the lights, which I love, by the way.
Field manager has to hate that.
Alan Johnson, not very happy about it. But you know what? We got a game to get ready for. Mm-hmm. The Eagles are also practicing in their stadium today, but during the day. Packers, a little smarter, doing it at night. Because when is this game happening?
At night.
You got to love it. But we've seen Matt now at kind of end of camp mode, right? The next time we see him and the next stretch we get him for is the getting ready for the international travel game, where we all remember he heading into that Giants contest over in London. He wasn't a big fan of it. Certainly didn't make any kind of secret to how he felt about it.
Yeah.
I've felt so far. Now, obviously, there's a lot of unknowns. He mentioned the travel, the fact that he's never traveled 10 hours anywhere on a plane, which totally understandable. But I am fascinated to see what the tone is like from Matt, this kind of lead up to a very different scenario than anyone's ever been through as far as anybody inside 1265.
Yeah. And do you think that maybe he could take a different tone just because they're getting the scheduling dub? Right. Like that, the fact that they're
possibly right. It's not a home game that you're giving up. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's not a home game that you're giving up. You're getting maybe your most hostile environment in a neutral site. Yeah. That being said, one that might favor
probably
you,
is going to favor you. Exactly. Right.
So I think that part of it also. Mark Murphy did kind of the bad guy role, right? Where he's like, listen, this is a competitive disadvantage for us.
Yeah.
Even though it might be a competitive advantage when you really look at it,
probably is a competitive advantage, especially when you consider the fact that they're going to leave early, right, and then get there and then play that game, and then come back and have a reset period while everyone else is licking their wounds from their Sunday opener, including their next opponent. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It's like I understand that it's annoying. Like, there's zero doubt about that for an occupation where they really thrive on repetition and routine and knowing what's coming up. And this is going to be a scenario where there's going to be a lot of unknowns being thrown at you.
Totally. Totally.
But I'm excited for it, man. I got to tell you, looking at this Packers team, you look at the 53, I will say I was maybe not shocked. That's probably too strong, but I was surprised at how many players got claimed off waivers. I mean, it's not an annual occurrence, not a regular occurrence. Obviously, it speaks to the depth and I think the youth of this football team, but it also kind of opens your eyes to, man, they've got a lot of players now who are young, who have put a lot on tape, and it shows up. Like, even if it's a Royce Newman, who Packers fans are done with, obviously, the celebration on my Twitter account was very apparent, right?
Yeah.
But if you're an opponent or you're in another NFL team looking at that player, who, okay, yes, he's certainly got deficiencies, but has lots of starting experience, let alone game experience. I got to admit, like, Brian's built a pretty formidable team where, you know, their cast-offs are being kind of gobbled up.
Yeah, in, what was it, 26 players in the NFL ended up getting claimed, three of which were off your team, three of which I also think were off the Niners.
49ers and the Packers had the most, right?
And you mentioned Royce. I had a friend of mine who is a Bear fan. Yeah, but
we don't hold that against him, though.
He said it right away. He goes, damn, they cut Royce Newman. That guy played a lot. And I'm like, yeah, people were pumped. Pumped. Really excited. He's like, damn, that guy played a lot of ball. And that is an understated thing, especially in the offensive line. You know, it's you and I think, are in lockstep here. Line play is down because there's just
has been, right?
There's not as many good ones. Real with a capital G good ones.
Right.
And the guys on the other side just keep getting bigger, faster, stronger, and more of freak shows.
And there's not enough time. There's just not enough time.
Yeah.
To fully these guys on the grass in pads together. It just doesn't work. It doesn't happen.
Yeah. So
it's anathema to everything that's set up as far as like how the NFL operates in the offseason. It just is.
Yeah. And maybe it will be better if they're together longer without the break, right? That we're apparently going to see when they inevitably go to 18 games in maybe 2026. But I'm not surprised he got picked up. Definitely not surprised Anthony Johnson Jr. got picked up.
He was the one I was ready for. I was like, if there's a guy who's going to get selected off waiver, that'll be him.
For sure. Because he was so surprising, I think, to many in our camp that ends up getting claimed. And somebody falls in love with somebody else and they're going to be able to go. And then the guy that we are all pounding the table for, and I'm on Packers OT being like, how on earth is this guy not making the team? Is Christian Welch, and he doesn't get claimed. Realistically, why? Because of dollars and cents. Now he'll be playing somewhere. He'll be on someone's squad, P squad,
Whatever. He's back with Baltimore.
Yeah, and it'll work, and it'll be veteran minimum, and the numbers will be even better. So it is a hard, cruel business, and last 2 days are exactly the easiest example of it.
I mean, you talk about hard, cruel business, man. I am gutted for AJ Dillon. Just gutted for the way he came off the offseason, right? And obviously signed for a very inexpensive contract with the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
And to see how he did hit the ground running as far as the start of camp, I thought he looked really good. Matt talked about it, I believe, yesterday or 2 days ago regarding like all the ways they had hoped to kind of use him in the offense, not just as a battering ram, but just in lots of different ways to complement Josh Jacobs. Now that's all up in a puff of smoke. Because of a second stinger in 9 months. And who knows, man, that doesn't bode well for his continuing to play in the National Football League, which I absolutely hate because I think he obviously loves it. Yeah. And he's a fan favorite. He's really kind of, I think, obviously ingratiated himself into the fan base and or community. To see him kind of put on the shelf, I'm not going to say unceremoniously, but just so somewhat suddenly. Yeah, you talk about tough business. That's tough business right there.
Yeah, and somebody that did seem to do everything right to try and figure out whatever he could do to be able to contribute and get better over the offseason. It is, when you heard Goody say it yesterday of, yeah, if he ends up doing it this year, it just won't be with us.
It won't be with us. That's hard to hear, but.
But it's true, and right, once you go on IR and there's no designation to return, John had said it on Monday, like, I wonder if they end up just settling with him because...
I think they do. I think that's 100% what's going to happen.
And you really just, like you said, I just hope that he gets the opportunity to say that he's done playing football, right? Like, I don't want it to be that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
you don't want it. You don't want this to be what ultimately, and bad, the worst way of putting it, almost retires players because sadly we've seen guys have situations that way, but it's wild to think that 3 weeks ago we're doing this pod and we're doing the radio show every day.
Exactly.
People are asking if he's gonna be on the team. I'm like, guys, he's not getting cut, and he's not, never does. However, it's something out of his control that is inevitably what takes him off the football team. It's a brutal sport, man. And it's sadly one of the biggest reasons why so many people love it.
Let's turn to, I guess, the offensive backfield there. Coming off of, okay, we've shelved A.J. Dillon, right? Who knows? Marshawn Lloyd, literally the only Packer who didn't participate in practice the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe they're continuing to be cautious, and maybe he's out there tonight. Who knows, right? I'm fascinated to see if we see a heavy dosage of Josh Jacobs week one against the Eagles. And, you know, that's no shade to Wilson. It's no shade to maybe McCrary or Merriweather, whoever they might bring up from the practice squad. But, man, I got to think he's going to play a boatload of snaps in this opener.
Oh, yeah.
What, you know, like, are you rolling out packages for Emmanuel Wilson? I mean, obviously, maybe as a third down back, he's going to be utilized a little bit. Although, we all know what's his kind of underlying weakness as a player. Pass protection. Well, that's kind of important on third down, right? So that, to me, the offensive backfield gets real interesting now in the sense of just what's the game plan? What's what Matt and company are drawing up for not only the running game, but the passing game and the usage of their star running back, where we all know how Matt LaFleur likes to operate traditionally. Rotate those guys. Rotate them all game long. I don't know that he has that luxury going into week one this year.
Don't need it.
I see. Now I agree, but this is who Matt's been throughout his entire career. Not even just in Green Bay, but going back to he had freaking Derrick Henry as an offensive play caller and didn't feed him the ball.
Well, and people are going to laugh when I say it this way. No disrespect to what Derrick Henry does.
Right.
Different than what Josh Jacobs is going to do. Like,
especially in this offense, I agree.
This football team in this 2024 season, Friday night could be the start of the offensive player of the year campaign for Josh Jacobs.
Okay, relax. All right. See, now, if you've been watching my Madden games and my Madden kind of season unfold, you got a case here. You got a case because I'm scoring like 2 or 3 touchdowns every game, 100 yards plus every game with Josh Jacobs. So
there was some.
I'm with you on the kind of imaginary possibilities there, but sir, this.
There's a real possibility. I mean, now you see what Christian McCaffrey does in a similar style offense with different type outside weapons,
right?
And a different quarterback, right? Not necessarily a better or worse of all of those spots, just very different. I think Josh Jacobs is going to have a crazy year statistically for Packers fans. See, I saw some aggregator spot, Josh Jacobs can have 1,300 total yards. Brother, I'm thinking he's having 1,300 rushing yards. Like, I'm not all that worried about total yardage.
Yeah, right.
You're talking 1,700 for total yards. Like the way he's going to be utilized in the pass game and the run game, his home run ability that people are not thinking about right now.
They are sleeping on that. That is for damn sure.
Next, no, I think question. It's going to be one of the toughest fronts he has to run against with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
One of the best ways you neutralize big Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis is have them chasing Josh Jacobs on the outside. I'm excited to see what they end up doing and how they scheme this up, because I think Josh Jacobs is going to have a huge year, and it could arrive pretty early on a national scene where everybody wants to talk about the two quarterbacks that have their mural up, rightfully so. I think eight's the one that ultimately steals. I think the running backs on both sides are the one that steal the show coming up in 8 days.
Yeah, you got the Barkley thing going on over there in Philly, don't you? And that's kind of fascinating because of the both backs obviously brought in free agency in an era where you don't traditionally see big money contracts going to running backs in free agency, right?
In one of the years that the most running back spending has gone down in the last decade.
Right.
So, I think we're in for something pretty special coming up on Friday. Like, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
You got me all jazzed, and I'm all with you, but then I remember that Matt LaFleur is the play caller. Like, you talk about McCaffrey, and no question about it, that capability is there, and the stylistically kind of similarities can certainly be pointed out, whatever. But, man, Kyle Shanahan gets off the bus running the football. Matt LaFleur wants to throw it around the yard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just true. In his bones. Now, I will say that there were a number of times this summer, whether I was in Green Bay, even after I left, talking to people about how it really seems like, or seemed like, throughout the kind of camp and preseason, did look like the Packers wanted to run the ball. Like they were working on that a lot more than in past
a little more power
training camps.
A little more counter.
A little more counter. Oh, a lot more counter. Hell, dude, I think they ran more counter in camp this year than I've ever seen them run.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that's the one kind of snippet where I'm like, okay, maybe
it's also
gonna like dive in here.
It also could be the strength of what your offensive line does. Like, I think they got good pass blockers, but when you're talking about Sean Ryan being your starting guard, Elton Jenkins being your starting left guard, Rashee Walker is very good on that outside zone. You go watch some of the teach tape that he put on film in that San Francisco game against Nick Bosa. Like,
no doubt, right?
I think they're going to run the ball, Nags. Like, now, do I think that they're going to Georgia Tech it, right? Steamroll and have my man, you know, with the quotes after the game. No, but I think it's much more of what you saw at the tail end of 2023, which absolutely the efficiency numbers from Jordan were the headliner, but
yeah, but the running game and the threat of the running game.
Yep.
That's the thing, right? That is the thing. It's the idea. And I know they mentioned it on the broadcast during the playoff game in Dallas, you know, talking to Dan Quinn prior to the game, talking about not being able to get a bead, especially on early downs, whether it's a run or a pass, right? The way that Jones had been so effective, like throughout that last 4 or 5 game stretch, and the defense not being able to key in on anything when it came to, all right, here comes the first down run. Oh, no, wait, now it's a bootleg. And wait a second, now it's a play action pass. Oh, wait, now it's a counter up the left side. Like, they just kept people off balance so well. If Matt can lean into that. Now, look, you can have all these designs and all these ideas, and I'm sure Matt does, but man, I got to think he had some of these ideas early last year, and they could not run black to save their fucking life. Mm-hmm. I mean, you remember that first kind of 4 or 5 game stretch, it was downright pitiful watching them try and block in the run game. They have to, and I mean underline, italicize, neon sign, have to be better up front in the run game starting, you know, next Friday down in Brazil, because man, if teams can get you one dimensional and are able to keep you in 2nd and 8, 2nd and 9, all those weapons the Packers have don't mean a whole hell of a lot if they're consistently having to win on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 10.
Yeah. And I am a little disappointed that we're not going to be able to see Dontavian Wich just,
torch some people,
take James Bradbury out to the shed, but
we're gonna
have to wait for that one 6 to 8 weeks. I think there's a lot of signs that point to, Nags, what you said about the beginning half of the season. We've talked about it all so much about Jordan. I think so much was tied to not only what Aaron Jones was doing, absolutely. So again, there's one guy that's running the ball. There's one guy that gets the stats. That offensive line was cooking with gas.
It absolutely was.
And it's, for the most part, even though we thought there might be a little bit different, it's the same, you know, and
essentially, right.
And I think there's a better version of 4 of the 5 guys out there. I don't know how Elton Jenkins is getting a whole lot better.
Right.
Maybe he is, because
but he's still Elton fucking Jenkins.
Yeah. And next, you know why he might be better? Because he's looking around what all these guys are getting paid. And he's like, Chris Lindstrom, what's up? Like, I know that I can match up on tape with Quinn Miners. So, like,
it's crazy how his deal became like a bargain, like
instantly.
One pay cycle later. Like, literally, the next cycle of dudes got paid, and it's like he is a bargain.
Yeah. And then we still have guys on the NFL draft, on NFL draft night, saying, could you really take Peter Skoronski seven because he looks more like a guard?
Dog.
You see what they're paying guards nowadays? Yeah. Yeah.
Did anyone see John Runyon Jr. get 10 a year?
Thank you.
The Giants?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Well, and don't be surprised when Royce Newman ends up playing this year and getting himself a little extension.
Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Twitter would blow up.
You know what's funny? Thinking about this game, and you know, we've talked about the Packers offense. Obviously, the great unknown here is, well, there's a couple elements, but the big unknown is the Packers defense, Halfley, what's it going to look like, etc. But it's so interesting when you look at the Eagles and the fact that they, and we've talked a little bit about this before, but now we're on the cusp of this actual game happening. Man, they've got coordinators, new coordinators on both sides of the ball who at least have histories that you can look at as far as when you're game planning, what their tendencies have been. Now, obviously, they're with different personnel now. You got to think they'll adjust somewhat, a little bit. But with Halfley, there's no roadmap. There's nothing if you're an offensive coordinator trying to like maybe look at his Boston College stuff, but that doesn't really apply, I don't think, especially since he was so cover one heavy. It's not like he's coming out running cover one in the NFL.
Can't do
like
it.
65% of the time. That can't ain't going to happen.
No.
But that's what I mean. Like, it's such an unknown that I want to get excited about the potential for the Packers defense to really make life miserable for Jalen Hurts, because God knows the last time we saw Jalen Hurts in a game that mattered, it was ugly. I mean, and there's no disrespect to Hurts or the Eagles or whatever, but man, that was against Tampa. That was ugly.
Well, and what a difference a year makes. Right. I mean, a year ago, if they would have been opening with the Eagles, the last thing you saw Jalen Hurts do was damn near outplay Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And this year you're like, Baker Mayfield looked way better than him in the final game of the year.
I mean, that's the thing, though. It's not just Hurts. It's that whole offense that just had no clue how to handle pressure or like anything to do with like adjusting at the line of scrimmage. Now, again, it's a new coordinator, right? So I'm sure they've worked quite a bit on a lot of that. But if I'm the Packers, I want to test out how much you've been working on it. I want to see if you got answers to that test.
Well, early,
you know,
and what I'm going to test right away is how different you are without Jason Kelce in the middle of your
life. Big time.
Big time. Because Nags, they lose the two coordinators, and I heard Ryan Russillo and Mike Sando, who on his quarterback tiers, you know, they're breaking down that style of it. And they were talking about it in terms of Jordan and Jalen Hurts, right? Like, which one would you take going forward? And it was framed as, when you have this untapped potential, you just always see it at the nth degree, right? You're always
the possible height to be reached. Right.
Now, I think we kind of forget how high the ultimate height was for Jalen Hurts. But
I think
then
a lot of the public seems to have.
Yeah, and you're like, you know, that wasn't all that great. I don't know. Best fantasy football player in all of football, dominating at the line of scrimmage, what, 40 plus total touchdowns?
Unbelievable.
And was going to win the MVP if he didn't get hurt, right? Yep. Like, so there's a little bit of what have you done for me lately that I think is forgetting how good of a player he was and how good this offense was.
Agreed.
I think Kellen Moore taps into a little bit of that. And name me a Vic Fangio defense that got worse.
Well, it's so funny to hear all the quotes coming out of Miami from the guys who are real happy that he's gone, right? But it's not like they had a terrible defense.
Not like they were bad.
You know,
they just apparently didn't like him.
Just didn't like the coach.
Yeah. And I think Philly's could be the best team in the NFC, or they could miss the playoffs. Like, there's a huge variance there.
Yeah.
Welcome to the NFL, right? Especially when your head coach is Nick Sirianni.
That whole dynamic. Jeez Louise.
I love their coordinators. I do like their quarterback a lot. But
I'm with you.
I think maybe the two biggest things that they have to replace. Not Brian Johnson as the offensive coordinator. I think they upgrade with Kellen Moore. Sean Desai, whatever they were doing on the defensive side. Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelce are stalwart HOF type players that have been the backbone of that team for a long time. That's something that you need to prove that you can replace. Unscouted looks are one thing. When your team is braced by those guys, it's a different energy. It's a different room when they're not there. I'm fascinated to see how they come out.
I think the Eagles are part of it. Better situated on the defensive line than they are to replace Kelce. You know what I mean? Like, I think they've still got Davis. I know there's weird to read. Like, some reports talk about a quote disappointing start to his NFL career. And I'm like, can we just like let the kid just get loose and play a lot? Because
Nags, he doesn't get sacks. Oh my God, he stinks. Like, just, he can't play. He doesn't get any sacks.
It's just like, he is a monster in there, man. Yeah. Like, I'm legit, let's not say worried, but let's say intrigued at the matchup between like Davis trying to split the gap between Josh Myers and Sean Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
trying to say a prayer for Jordan Love. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, Jalen Carter,
beast, man.
And Jalen Carter is like a baby rhinoceros on the other side. Like, it's they're a scary duo, and yeah. They're the I think when they did it in all the way back in Super Bowl 52, a little bit different. Where man, they're bringing in eight guys, they're rotating eight
the
dudes.
Rotation was so
on that defensive line. So they do still do that, man. A little bit. So that's what the Packers I think are trying to get to. Is to match what Philadelphia did, but you're taking Fletcher Cox there out of the middle. He was a key reason as to the pressure they would continually get.
No question about it. No question about it. So let's look at this matchup now with brass tacks, Billy, because I believe the Eagles are favored by 2.5.
Right.
Is it 2.5 still?
It ended up going up to 2.5. Yeah, because it was sitting right around
it
one.
It opened at
the
one.
Beginning. Yep.
It opened at one, but I think it's up to 2.5 now.
Sorry, I got all my.
Yeah, why don't you check your apps?
Futures
about
in
that?
Front of me. Ooh, Potawatomi Sportsbook, which is the premier Midwest gambling destination, sports betting
game. Of course, naturally.
Has the Packers catching three.
Three?
At minus 120.
Wow.
So
all the way up to three.
Once we're done with this, I'm going to take a quick 15-minute drive over to Canal Street and lock that in to make sure that it doesn't change. Because I do like those 3 points. You give me a toss-up game and you give me 3 points, I'm going to take
it
back for sure.
Speaking of locking it in, lock it in, Billy. I heard you talking on the radio this morning about the U.S. Open.
Let's go.
Well, whether you should go or anybody, why would you be interested? Let me tell you something here.
Going to tennis?
Three or four listeners to Carry the G Radio
300,000, 400,000 now.
Sir, the U.S. Open is a vibe. It is so much fun. You have got to come out here next year because it falls perfectly, right? Like, you have the preseason.
Kind of does,
camp,
yeah.
Preseason, and then we've got this week window where there's no football, no NFL football. So you come out, we'll go to the U.S. Open, and then we'll explore some, you know, sports bars, and we'll watch the college football, and then you can make your way back to Wisconsin.
That sounds like an absolute electric factory, and I'm in.
It's a no-brainer.
Because Armin Sarian almost slapped me in the face when I said what I said about, like, I really going to want to go to a tennis event?
Dude, you have no idea.
Dude. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? A U.S. Open? Well, of course you're going to go to the U.S. Open. His wife went with her sister, brother-in-law, a couple of people. I think she was there on a work trip, potentially.
Right.
Armin says, you have to go to the U.S. Open. She ends up going, got him a hat. I don't think he took it off for like 3 straight months. So if
I'm
it's reaching
you,
those levels, and I was told that it's potentially the live version of tennis, I can be interested. I'm excited. I'm always down to say the U.S. is better. So our Grand Slam,
the lone tennis, Grand Slam in the circuit,
yeah,
right? Like, I'm telling you, man,
don't be late.
And the way it's grown, the event itself has grown over the last kind of decade plus. It is so much fun. It is such a vibe. You will love it.
I'm excited. And I've also never been to New York, so.
So there's a whole nother layer. We're gonna take you down. We're gonna bring you to the village. We're gonna go to a Kettle of Fish. We'll have some beers with Patrick. We'll do the whole thing.
Hell yeah! They serve anything other than fish at Kettle of Fish.
Sir, Kettle of Fish is the greatest Packers bar outside of the state of Wisconsin. It is owned by a gentleman who moved from the 70s, and it is made up to look like, if you have ever known a grandma or grandpa who had like a basement bar.
Yes.
That's exactly what it is.
Oh, I can't wait.
And then on game days, they do like brats and the whole nine yards. Dude, I'm telling you, it's the greatest place to watch a Packers game outside of the state of Wisconsin. Not even exaggerating.
I'm fired up.
Amazing. So we'll bring you there. We'll go to the U.S. Open. We're going to make it happen. Lock it in.
Let's do it. All right. Let's lock it in.
Cannot wait. You got anything else that's like searing your brain, like it's like on your mind about the Green Bay Packers before we head into game week, which I can't even believe I'm saying.
I can't believe that we're saying it either. I think the biggest thing is of how fired up I am for you to be in Sao Paulo with
absolutely
cheeseheads from across the globe. Now, I did get into a little bit of a back and forth with Matt Schneidman earlier on this week where I said maybe Alex Hale should be kicking, right? Because south of the border, south of the equator, right? Like, you know.
You want the Aussie kicking because of the altitude, the latitude, the longitude.
In the southern hemisphere. Like, Nags, I don't know. I've only been outside the country one time. All right. Your boy is not very traveled.
But you had quite the adventure that one time. So it's not like you don't have experience.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm excited for you to go south of the equator, and heat's going to be something else. I want you to bring some sunscreen.
Well, what's
I want
crazy?
You to report all the greatest things that you see.
I will. And what's nuts is I'm really excited. I'm almost as excited as I am for the game to meet with Packers fans the night before for our meetup with the folks at Packers Brazil, the fan group down there.
That's going to be so much fun.
I am jacked because I have had so many people reach out and say, I'm going to be there. Can't wait to say hello. And like, hey, if our meetup in London was any indication, it's going to be a party. So I'm down, man.
Listen, John Kuhn tells legendary stories of walking by your meetup in London and hearing the energy when Aaron Nagler walked into that pub.
Yeah.
Getting there like 3 hours late while I was waiting for my boy Luddy to get himself ready.
As one does.
Combine one. Right. And the energy that was still there when we showed up 3 hours late. Dude, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like in Brazil. That is
going
to
be good times. It's going to be good times. I just got to make sure, you know, that the trick here, of course, is, you know, most of the folks down there are like, oh, I'm down here in a professional capacity. I'm covering the game and I will be in bed by a reasonable hour. Nerds. And like, I'm going to be in bed at like 4 a.m. Like, that's my guess on Thursday night after traveling overnight to get there. I don't land until 9:15 a.m. and then I got the Packers practice I got to go to, and then I've got this meetup, so I'm not going to be asleep for like 24 hours. Then I got to wake up and then go to the game, but thankfully the game's not until like 9:15 at night, so I can sleep hopefully till like 4 or 5. That's my
game. But and what you're underselling is a crazy ability to nap and rally from one Aaron
Nagler. This is fair.
Only got a slight taste of at the combine. It's like 9:45, right? We're leaving the one bar. Right.
Yep.
As to quote your shirt, I'm a little buzzed up.
That's Matt Ramage's shirt, which is awesome. Awesome shirt.
And then all of a sudden, Nag's like, I'm going to go take a quick nap, watch two quick episodes of a show, and then I'm going to be...
Shogun had just come out, and I wanted to watch Shogun.
Just come out, and then I'll meet you guys at Prime 47. Like, what do you mean? Like 11:30? And then I'm like, dude, you're going to hit a pillow and then hit a bar after? Like, I hit a pillow past 9, and your boy is deleted.
That's a
remarkable ability. So, you out till 4 a.m., I'm going to be fascinated to see what time, like, the 9:45, 15-minute power nap, and all of a sudden Nags is back at a 10.
That's that is 100% in the cards here. That is question the gameplay.
When did you start that? Were you born with that ability, or was that like
That's something that definitely developed over fatherhood. No question about it. Like that was not something I did a lot of, if any of, when I was a younger man. But you know, fatherhood. The worst is like Billy. Here's the thing. Let's get into it, right? Because here's the thing. You're a married man, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't experienced this yet, you probably will. So let the wisdom of my age inform you here, right?
I'm excited.
See, the wife, when I had a wife, was not a fan of the afternoon nap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but what she didn't understand, what she didn't understand is that I needed the afternoon nap. That wasn't like disrespect. It wasn't saying like my time is more valuable than yours. I just needed the nap, you know?
Yep.
So just my advice to you, Billy, is make sure she understands the need for the nap. Like, it's not about like, oh, it'd be nice if I could nap. Like, no. I need the nap.
Yeah.
It's a necessity.
I like that we're putting it in as a requirement. That is that again, now we're oversharing. That's when all of a sudden your boy's at the Oval Office for a good like and not the situation in Green Bay. I mean the Oval Office, porcelain throne, one of those situations where like, give me 15 minutes. I'm gonna scroll Twitter real quick.
Right.
Maybe place a couple of parlays, and then all of a sudden refresh, rejuvenated. That was hilarious, though. I mean, if Tyler doesn't use that as an award-winning clip of giving 15 minutes at the Oval
Office. Please, there's no way. There's no way Tyler's still listening. He always, you'll notice, Billy, here's the secret, Billy. What you don't understand is you'll notice all of the clips that Tyler uses, whether it's us, whether it's my Packers Daily, whether it's some Andy Herman clip, whether it's Pax, what she said. It's all in the first 10, 15 minutes. He doesn't listen to the whole thing. He's just like,
that's true. Well, there, I can
use that. Doesn't matter if it's been talked about a million times already. Like, oh, well, there, I can clip that real easy. And then that's his work.
Oh, it's our kicker at 8 minutes. All right, we're good.
Exactly. Yeah, dude, there's no way he's getting to this. No chance. He turned this shit off like 20 minutes ago, and we're 39 minutes
in. Oh, God. I feel so much better.
Don't you worry about it.
Oh, so we can start cussing at this point.
Oh, fucking A, man. Go right ahead. I mean, we got to get it out now before we get on the air.
Yes, that's true. We got to have our last weeks of fun before we start getting back on terrestrial and FCC's on our ass.
You got to get the fucking shit out of the way. You know what I'm saying? Damn.
It's a fucking A.
All right. Okay, we are off the rails. I absolutely
love I'm sorry. That was my fault.
Billy, I absolutely adore you. I adore doing this with you every week. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it. We're almost at game week.
It's about
we're
to be
almost
it.
There. Let's
now,
do
will
it.
I get to talk to you before you depart?
Tuesday afternoon. We will. Hey, no moving it this week.
Perfect.
Billy and I have this thing where we text each other every day. Can't do Tuesday. Can we do a Wednesday? Yeah, sure. No problem. Wednesday morning rolls around. Can't do Wednesday. Can we do a Thursday? Yeah, no problem.
Always about 45 minutes before we're about to start.
100%. Sorry. This week, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Lock it in. No changing it because I leave on Wednesday. So,
all right, bet.
Got to get it in. All right, brother. Good stuff. We'll have a much more detailed breakdown next week, looking at the Packers taking on the Eagles. Billy, you're the man. We'll talk to you next week. Go Pack Go.
All right, man. Go Pack Go.